from the advertising media capital of the world, New Milford, Connecticut, wherever that is. This is Mostly Marketing with Matt Wilson.
Oh, yeah. Another episode of Mostly Marketing with Matt Wilson. Thank you, Jim McCarthy. JimMcCarthyVoiceOvers.com. He's the man for furnishing that intro for me. Mostly Marketing with Matt Wilson, presented by Silverback Advertising. Co-hosting today is John Costanza, programmatic specialist at Silverback Advertising. What's up, John?
Yo, yo, what's going on?
Nice fancy microphone you got there.
That's right. New just for today.
I like it. Couple things I thought we should talk about today. Plus, it's our turn, or it's my turn, to do a blog on our website, silverbackadvertising.com. And I don't like to write blogs, so I just kind of cheat and do a podcast and then write a paragraph about the podcast and then post it as a blog post. And I didn't write the paragraph. Someone else writes it for me. So it's really just pretty easy. I found a cheat code for blogs.
AI writes them for you, right?
No, I record this.
No, the paragraph.
No, we got a person on staff who does a fantastic job.
Oh, you outsource that. Gotcha.
I don't outsource it. I delegate it to an employee. There's a difference. Listen, I don't know if you saw this morning. Oh, I just closed the article, of course. I had an article open. No, I found it. Article I thought you'd be interested in from eMarketer. And it's basically about DV360, right? Google's connected TV programmatic DSP. And they are adding partnerships with other inventory sources, which I thought was interesting. Because right now, the only way you can get programmatic inventory on YouTube TV is by using their DSP, DV360. It's not available in all the other DSPs, one of them walled gardens, right? But now Google is adding partnerships with Disney, NBC Universal, and Warner Brothers Discovery to increase their inventory offerings on their DSP. So, like right now, their DSP has a minimum spend level. You have to hit a certain spend to get into the DV360 DSP and then turn around and buy advertising on YouTube TV. So unless you're doing campaigns exclusively on YouTube TV, it's not super convenient, right? But now they're trying to add other inventory to it. So now it's like, all right, I can get on YouTube TV. I can get my NBC Universal content, Warner Discovery, all through that DSP. Sounds like they're making a play to essentially make it easier to use their DSP. But also it's the only place you can get access to the YouTube TV inventory. Very interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you have the benefit of if you could get all the inventory that you're currently getting on whatever DSP you're using, plus have access to their exclusive YouTube TV inventory, yeah. I mean, then that's going to put them in a good position.
And of course, it's Google, so they have like a catchy, you know, marketing name. They're calling it Rethinking Programmatic TV because they have to put a catchy marketing thing behind it. It's just required.
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I think it's already been thought of thoroughly by multiple companies.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, though, who else they partner with, too, or if there's any networks or companies that resist them because of partnerships with other DSPs. But like right now, you can only get NFL Sunday Ticket on YouTube TV, right? They moved to YouTube TV last year. So you have no choice. So if you have an agency or you're a business that needs to be on that high profile programming, you essentially don't have a choice. You've got to get on DV360 to get YouTube TV and get NFL Sunday Ticket.
Yeah, I'm just looking right now. Is NFL Sunday Ticket exclusive?
I think it is.
For YouTube TV.
I'm pretty sure it is. You know, and then the other thing about it too is it's not, in order to get a seat essentially at the DV360 DSP, you have to go through one of the agencies that are authorized sellers. It's not like other DSPs where you can meet the minimum threshold and get a seat. Like we could meet the minimum spend, and we could get a seat, but we have to get it. We have to buy it or get it through an agency that is a certified reseller who of course gets a cut of your media buy.
That I don't like. Because if you, I understand that if you don't get the minimum, if you don't have the minimum spend, then right. that's the cost of being the little man. You have to pay the cut. But if you meet the minimum spend, then I got to give this other agency a cut just because of the fact that they got the seat first or they were in at the ground level. I don't like that. That would be a, yeah. that would be a tough pill for me to swallow if we were to ever move media to there.
I think the Amazon story is when Amazon launched their DSP, they offered it like open seats, and then they quickly realized that they don't have the manpower and they don't want to service thousands and thousands of agencies, right?
Right.
So they rolled it back and said, all right, here, and I'm making the number up. Here's 20 agencies and everybody can work with these agencies. So the little guy who maybe doesn't have $200,000 a month on Amazon spend can get access through a reseller, basically saying we don't want to be able to support, you know, or offer support services to, you know, a ton of agencies, which would, you know, like the model for like the Trade Desk or, you know, some of the other DSPs, if you're working with Roku or Basis, you know, they've got these huge support staffs, right? When you think about it though, that's a ton of manpower and a ton of work. And, you know, get Amazon and D360 who are like, you know what, here's 50 people, pick from these guys. And then they all they got to do is service those 50 people.
Honestly, the service might end up being better too, because, you know, when the service is in-house at the platform, you know, you have no choice. You can't go anywhere. So if they don't, you can't go anywhere else. So if they don't right. do a good job servicing you, you know, you're just complaining and that's it.
Right.
But with the Amazon situation, again, just making the number up, like you said, if there's 50 agencies that are resellers and you're spending, you know, a ton of money on Amazon, $200,000 a month, and you're not satisfied with the level of support you're getting.
Yes.
I got 49 other choices that I could go shop around. So that should keep it, that competition should be good and should keep the level of service for all the other agencies that are going to buy from these resellers. It should keep that level of service high because of that competition. And it should also force them to keep their margins low, knowing that people can go elsewhere. If they want to retain business, they can't take too much of a cut. Should be the healthy competition.
The power of choice and healthy competition.
Free market, baby. Capitalism 101. Just
get there. Unlike if you're in a place like me where you have one internet provider, basically, that offers internet, you're screwed. Doesn't matter how the service is. Doesn't matter what it costs. Doesn't matter right. how slow the speed is. You want internet? Sorry. Work with us. You don't have exactly. a choice. But if you have a choice, all of a sudden, you're like, oh, the other guy, you know, these guys stink. Let me try the other guys. And then they're just they're just as bad. And then you're like, well, what's the difference with internet? But that's two choices. Now, in this case, maybe you have 50 choices.
It might be more personalized, too, because, you know, how unless you're a tremendous player, you know, spending millions of dollars a month, how personalized is your level of service with Basis or the Trade that's going to be realistically?
Right.
Yeah. You know, not that personal. But with the I guess with this reseller structure, you know, if you're spending, you know, $50,000 a month and one of the original agencies that got one of these seats is a small company, only a couple of people, that's a lot of money for them with their them getting their cut. You know, you might get very personalized service.
Yeah.
You'd be a big fish in a little sea instead.
Yeah. Well, you figured those larger companies, too. How many accounts do like account managers and people handle? Hundreds of accounts.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, at an agency, like you said, you know, maybe that person's got 50 or 35 accounts, and it's a lot. Right. It's a lot smaller, and you know you can get more personalized service. One of the things this article says is interesting is it says the last bullet point, and this is from eMarketer, their Inside Intelligence newsletter, says, but regulators are beginning to chip away at walled gardens like the App Store and others that resemble DV360, which could spell trouble for its long-term video ad ambitions. I don't know what that means. Does that mean that the regulators are like, wait a minute, it's not right that you can only get this inventory in this one place? Can they?
Well, that's ridiculous. It's their inventory. It's up to them where they want to sell it.
Yeah, can they force them?
Inventory.
Yeah, it's like Amazon. Why should Amazon share their inventory with somebody else? It's their inventory. It's their product.
That's the dumbest thing I've heard in like 3 days, and I've heard a lot of dumb things.
You were just talking about customer service. And I had a customer service thing the other day that kind of bugged me. And I wanted to get your take on it. I was at, where was I? Oh, Petco. I went to Petco to get some.
Where the pets go.
Where the pets go. Yeah, I was there, but did I have my pet with me? No, I didn't have my pet with me. I had my kids. Went to Petco to get some dog toys for the dog. And I, you know, gather the toys up and a small bag of food. And I go up to the thing and the checkout lady's not there. So I'm just standing there, whatever. And she comes over and she's got her AirPods in and she's talking on the phone. So there's no like, hey, how are you? Did you find everything you needed? Oh, that's a cool toy. My dog uses that. There was no like pleasant conversation. There was no like, that'll be $44.99. There was just the thing on the screen, point to the card reader, pay, no goodbye, see you later, enjoy. Like just no interaction, just AirPods on the phone with somebody and like just shoveled me through the line. And that really annoys me because it takes 2 seconds to be nice to somebody. Now, on the one hand, it's the only Petco around. Where am I going to go to get my dog toys? Normally I buy them online, but we had some time to kill and we were right there. And I'm like, well, let's go find a cool dog toy. But that type of customer service, like, would you ever do that if you were in a customer service or a retail situation? I certainly would not.
For those listening, I'm moving very close to the mic for this statement.
Yes, it's way too close.
10% off with your first order on AutoShip at Chewy.com. Please sponsor us, Chewy. My response to that is get it from Chewy.
Well, I get my food from Chewy. I do. I get all my dog food from Chewy, and it's auto-shipped. But I don't know. I wanted sometimes I like to see the dog toys, make sure they're big enough for the giant dog to handle. I got a great deal. I can't buy a little toy. She'll swallow it.
Yeah. No, I mean, I worked in high school in customer service at a golf course, and the entire point of customer service is to serve the customer. I mean, if you're working with your AirPods in, you should be fired.
Yeah.
How are you at the cash register with your AirPods in?
That annoys me. And then like...
And she probably complains that she only makes minimum wage too.
Yeah, complains about it. And then later that day, I get an email from a vendor who I will not name. And the vendor says, the email says, to better serve, this is, I'm paraphrasing, to better serve you, we are introducing our new digital account manager program, where instead of reaching out to a person, an account manager.
This is my biggest pet peeve on earth.
You can email this digital account manager email address, and we will get back to you within 24 hours and answer your question. And the benefit is digital account managers are available 24/7, not like your regular account manager. And I'm like, what the hell is this? So basically, okay, guys, you work with us, but you can no longer talk to a human. Now you must talk to an email account if you have questions. So I'm upset about it to start. And then I get with the person on my team who handles this discipline of media, and she's annoyed by it. So then a couple weeks later, I have a billing issue. And I reach out via the digital account manager and I don't hear anything back. And then it's 3 days. And so then I reach out to the regular account manager and I write what is quite possibly the snarkiest email I've ever written, which is like, I have some feedback on your digital account manager strategy. I was like, it doesn't work, period. And then I just, you know, was like, I asked about this 3 days ago. It was about billing. I would think that you'd want to get paid. Like we were at a question about paying our bill. I would think you'd want to get your money as soon as possible. It's a sizable chunk of money. Somebody should get back to me. And then the person was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I'll take care of it. Da 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 da, whatever. And then I got a feedback questionnaire like 3 days later. We'd love your feedback on how we handled your case. So I went I went bananas on the feedback thing.
I think it's time for you to look for a new vendor there, Matt.
But a digital account manager, like I want support. I want to talk. How often do you work with a vendor or a partner? I like to say partner. I like that the sound of that better than vendor. How long do you often work with a partner? And a lot of it is based on the likability and the service you get from the human being. Think about it.
99.9% of the time, especially now in a saturated market where there's 17,000 companies that all offer the same service. At the end of the day, it comes down to relationships and if you like the people.
Yeah,
certain things, if they're unique and there's only one in the world, you know, and you have no choice, obviously you have to use that company. But if there's 97 people, you know, that can all build a geofence the exact same way.
Yeah.
And there's no difference, for argument's sake. What's the deciding factor? the relationship and the service.
Yeah. So I'm not going to say the name of the company for obvious reasons, but before this recording, I looked up their services to see who else offers them. There's like 50 places, 50 agencies. And if I can find, I don't really have a reason to switch right now. I mean, it's annoying, but if I can find an agency that has a human being that I like and that seems helpful, then like, what's to keep you, like, put it this way. We have a new technology partner at our agency. The guy who services our account is awesome. He's like, anything you need. You need another training call? You need to get your people for training? You have any questions? Yeah, it's like open-ended, like as much support as you want. And the investment was a sizable investment. So I expect that level of support. But like, I have nothing but good things to say about this partner. Yeah. And it all has to do with the person. I mean, the product is great also, but it has to do with the person. And yeah. I don't know. It seems like pretty basic business to me.
It's just all this automated stuff. It just infuriates me. Like, you see, now Walmart wants to charge you to use self-checkout.
What do you mean charge you?
Yeah, look it up. Walmart wants to charge people for self-checkout for the convenience of it. So I got to pay you to do your job.
Wait, so they want you to charge you for... But when you go to Walmart, at least in my local Walmart, I try to avoid going there whenever possible. But if I have no choice and I'm at the Walmart, there's like 5 self-checkout lines, only 2 checkout lines with humans. So the self-checkout, and I'm all about like getting out of there as quickly as possible when I'm inside of Walmart. And so you're going to charge me to use the convenient option?
Yeah, that's, I don't know, you know, if it was completely true or not, but.
Oh, well, hold on. What's your source? Facebook?
Well, it was circulating around the old interweb saying that there's like $98 a year fee. No, they were saying
$98. You show me a legitimate news source that mentions this and I'll believe it. Just forget everything John just said there, guys. I don't
know.
Was it a meme with a misspelling in it on the internet?
No. It's Walmart says that it's a localized decision that the store managers will all have to make. It's not a corporate decision, but some Walmarts will now charge $98 a year to use self-checkout. So a spokesperson for Walmart said whether the store decides to limit access to its self-checkout stations for Walmart's members is a localized decision that the store manager would make depending on customer traffic. It's also important to note that the $98 is to be a Walmart whatever member, not just to use self-checkout. You would have to be a member to use self-checkout.
So it's like getting a member.
So Walmart Plus membership. It's a subscription that costs $98 per year. And at some Walmarts, you will only be able to use self-checkout for Walmart Plus members.
Where are you reading this?
Reuters.com.
All right. Yep.
It's all just quotes from Kelsey Bowl, director of corporate communications at Walmart.
I would say it's quotes from people on Twitter.
I don't have a Twitter.
All right.
Yeah, okay. I stay out of there.
So then, look, back to the customer service thing. Then the other day, I get a flat tire and I go to like the mom and pop tire shop in town that I didn't even know existed because they're like located behind a gas station in the worst location possible. My buddy's like, oh, you got to go to Murph's Tire Shop. I'm like, where the heck is Murph's? He's like, it's like 5 minutes from your house.
Shout out Murph's.
Shout out to Murph's Tire Shop, my buddy Jimmy Clark. So anyway, so I go there. Nice, best customer experience ever. Now, I happen to know the guy, which I didn't know. I knew the guy when I got there. He's like, hey, Matt Carey, in my old fake radio name. And I'm like, hey, bud. He's like, Jim Clark. And I'm like, Jimmy, you know. So, so obviously I had a connection there. But like, dude, they gave me a spare tire till my new tire came in. I'm sorry, I'm getting a lot of messages here. I'm super important. Hold on.
Just for the audience, this is what it's like when Matt and I are trying to work during the day. I'm trying to present him important things, and due to his aristocratic nature, his devices are just pinging at all times.
Well, yeah, I missed 4 messages just during this recording. I got it. Okay. It's tough. It's really tough. I'm like the president. Constantly things going on. So So Murph's tire, they gave me a loaner tire, didn't charge me for it. It's just an old junky tire laying around, but it was full size as opposed to my donut spare. They order the new tire because they didn't have it. Comes in 2 days later. Like, yeah, come in and we'll change it. I'm like, they didn't need an appointment? They're like, nah, come in the afternoon. So I go in the afternoon and I don't know. I think I talked to you when I was in the lobby and yep. I was there for like less than 20 minutes. I was like, did they even tighten the screws? Like they were there super quick and the wheel has not fallen off and it's been a week. So I guess they did it right.
There actually aren't screws on a tire. There are
lug nuts. Sorry, lug nuts. I know what they are. I know they're called lug nuts. Shut up. So, but that's a good customer experience. And I need a new tire. Where am I going to go? Am I going to go there or am I going to go to some like, Mavis? Do they do tires at Mavis? I don't even know.
I would go right to Murph's.
I'm going to go to Murph's. If I don't go to the dealer, I usually go to the dealer, but I'll go to Murph's. I like Murph's. Yeah. I don't know if there's a guy there named Murph who works there, but I don't know. I like it.
The moral of the story is shop local, shop small.
Do you have any good customer service stories? You're in Long Island, so I can only assume every customer experience is horrible.
Yeah, 99.9% are horrible. Most people are angry. But shout out Port Jeff, CDJR, phenomenal customer service experience every time I go there.
Oh, yeah?
Service writer, Nick Miola, if he's listening, fantastic. Always gets me coupons, in and out. Ever have an issue, they'll take you right when you call. You know, even if you got to leave it overnight, they'll take you in immediately, give you a ride to your house, give you a ride back, come pick you up, bring you back to the dealership if you got no one to bring you back. Fair pricing. Great customer service.
We invite you all to check out Port Jeff CDJR, Silverback Advertising's newest client, I can only assume. Located at Neskonesset Highway, or wherever the heck you say that. Neskonesset Highway in Port Jefferson Station. I love Port Jeff. And they have the Jeep that I want. And I sent it to my local dealer and said, hey, Port Jeff has the one I want. So I don't know if they got it from Port Jeff or not. Speaking of good car dealership customer service, I confused the receptionist at my local Jeep dealership this morning because I was looking to talk to my sales guy. And she answered, when you call this dealership group, they have two franchises or maybe three. But you call the group and a human answers right away. I'm like the third ring, no machine, which is amazing. So I'm like, hi, I'm looking for Jeremy in the CDJR store. And she was like, confused, because I'm assuming most customers don't ask for the CDJR store. That's kind of an insider thing. She was like, okay. So I got his voicemail and he called me back like 20 minutes later, which is not the experience that I've had in several other locations. So good on Sullivan Hills, Northwest Hill, no, Sullivan Family, Northwest Hills, CDJR.
Look at this. We're just shouting out CDJR stores all over the
house. That's because we're Stellantis people. I got a Jeep. You got a Ram. We're all about the CDJRs.
Yeah. But if you get a flat, make sure you hit Murph's.
Yeah. Go to Murph's. All right. So
I would actually fix my own flat. I was informing Matt on that, but he's not at that skill level yet.
Well, I was being on the side of the road watching a YouTube video on how to change my tire. I figured that would be real stupid looking. So I stopped by a friend's house who has an air compressor in his garage because I was like right near his house and he wasn't home. So he opened his garage like over his phone. I filled it up with air. I overinflated it to 45 PSI, which is the max inflation on that tire, and then drove to Murph's, which was like 4 miles away. By the time I got to Murph's, it was down to 17. So I just made it.
Barely made it in.
Because I was thinking, I'll put my spare on in my friend's driveway, but then I'm like, he's going to be watching me on his outdoor Ring camera, laughing at me the whole time I'm trying to figure it out in his driveway. And I was like, hell no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to Murph's. Go to Murph's.
I would love to have seen the video footage of that.
All right. So we shouted out Murph's. We shouted out Northwest Hills, Port Jeff. You shouted out somebody early on. I forget who it was.
Chewy.
Oh, Chewy. Chewy.com. Yes.
Sponsor us.
Dude, if Chewy becomes a sponsor of my podcast, I will give you 5%.
That would be great. Yeah. I think we need Chewy as a sponsor. Although, have you fixed your auto delivery yet? Are you still not getting food at the...
No, I sped it up a week now, so it comes a week earlier.
Okay.
Because when I got the puppy, she was eating less. And then all of a sudden, it was running out of food. Now she eats 6 cups of food a day. And so I had to speed up the the delivery. So now it comes on time.
Okay. All right. That's good.
There you go.
You know where you get terrible customer service?
Where?
Animal hospitals.
Well, I hope to avoid having to go to an animal hospital.
Terrible customer service, usually.
Looks like the National Security Agency is looking for me, so I got to go. I'm very busy. Very busy. There you go. Blog post done. Perfect. Thank you, John. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, yeah. You're supposed to say, like and follow and all that kind of stuff, but just listen. I appreciate it.
Mostly Automotive Marketing with Matt Wilson is brought to you by... Wait, this guy has sponsors? Oh, never mind. This sheet of paper's blank. No sponsors. That makes more sense. For updates, info, future episodes, and more, follow on Twitter, subscribe on YouTube, like on Facebook, and connect on Frackle. You guys made that last one up. That's not even a thing, Frackle. Come on.